All right, welcome everybody back to our community series. Over these past few weeks, we've been diving in together with kind of our different format. As you are seeing right now, it's kind of Sunday school with some worship. So what we're going to have is also, just so you know, just to hang in there if it's your first time getting to hang out with us or coming back for a while, we are going to have a little bit of worship, a little bit of a lesson, and then we're going to have group time. Our men get in a group, our women get in a group, and our Spurs students get in a group. But most importantly today, I want us to start off letting three people know God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. That's important. God is faithful. Right? We just sang about it. We just worshiped. He won't fail. Right? God is faithful. And that's the mindset we're going to have today because we started out learning about the Bible at a glance. We talked about how to know the Bible. We're kind of going deeper in knowing the Bible this week because it's 2 weeks we're going to be diving into how to study the Bible. How to study the Bible. This is something that's important for each and every one of us because it's one thing to have the Bible at a glance. It's one thing to know the Bible, but study implies something different. And that's what we're going to be walking through over these next few weeks. Many of us got a sheet. If you didn't, we're actually going to work through this in our group next week, but it's kind of laying the groundwork today for what we're talking about so it can make sense because we're only going to have a small time together before we break out in groups. So to kick things off, as always, we're going to start in the same verse we've been through over these past few weeks, and we'll continue it again next week, and it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. So if you've got your Bible, it's a good time to get there if you want to roll there. Paul's letter to Timothy, the last thing that he writes, you can do that. Also, if you don't have a Bible, we'd love to get one in your hands. We talk about it all the time for free. Our Vine Church app is out there for you. Go to thevine.tv/app. There's a notes tab. If you like to take notes personally, you can do that digitally, whatever that looks like. But each and every week, wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, they do their best. Zach Candler and our Vine production team will make sure it's on the screen for you. This helps. It helps during group time, too, because the discussion questions are up there. And to be quite honest with you, I'm the one who is writing them, but I don't remember them. So I'm thankful that Zach puts it up there for each and every one of us. So if you're at 2 Timothy 2:15 and you're ready to receive what the Lord has for us today, give me an amen. And God's people said amen. So it says this in 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your, what does that say, church? Best, your best. We got to give our best. Back to school season's there. We got to give our best. We're going to be really good for these first few days of school, and then we got to make sure we were caught being good later, right? So do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. It's one thing to look at the Bible at a glance. It's one thing to know the Bible, but to study the Bible is to really understand the Bible for each and every one of us. And what we're going to be walking through over these next few weeks is this really great word called hermeneutics. And long story short, what that is we are going to let the Scripture speak for itself to us instead of us trying to tell the Scripture what we want it to say. Now, 2 Timothy 2:15 was up there for a second, but we're not going to put it back up there. A great example of us doing this before we get in there is Jeremiah 29:11. Man, we love that. That's in our kitchens. That's on our walls. We love that verse. And if you remember, what does that verse say? God has what? He has good plans for us, right? To make us prosper. And we love that. But we miss the verses before it that says, hey, you're going to go 70 years in exile first before you walk fully in God's prosperous plan. So this is where the Scripture speaking to itself matters. This hermeneutics we're going to be walking through. So we have to look at Scripture itself. We've got to look at the grammar of the Scripture, the structure of the Scripture, the cultural and historical context, the air conditioning coming on when you're in church, praise Jesus' name, wherever you are. That being said, for real, we've got to look at all of this because it matters. This is what I go through each and every week as I get to prepare for what the Lord has for us. So we're going to start over these next 2 weeks. We're going to walk through 5 ways that we're going to be able to study Scripture today, together. We're going to do 4 today, do the last one next week, and spend most of our time next week applying what we've learned. So if you're ready to dive in, let's go ahead. Can I hear a shout for the Lord, right? We're ready? All right, it's good. I'm going to try to not go too fast because I know I can get excited about this. But the first thing that you and I have to do when we study the Word of God is to prepare in prayer. That sounds really crazy, right? But we should always start in prayer. It's important for you and I to prepare in prayer. And you may be asking, well, what prayer do I pray? And I want you to go to the brother of Jesus. His name is James, but we're all brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. But still, the brother of Jesus, James, he writes this in James chapter 1, verse 21. And he tells us how you and I should approach Scripture and studying it as we get ready to go in prayer and prepare in prayer before the Lord. And it says this, therefore, really quickly, we've said this before, we're looking at breaking down scripture. If there is a therefore there, it is there for a reason. It means you have to take everything that was before it that brought you to the therefore. So everything's coming together. So James says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Doesn't that sound encouraging? Get rid of all moral filth. What is he trying to say? He's saying that you and I should come before the Lord humbly and in purity. We should confess our sin before the Lord, knowing that Jesus is the only one that can save us. But in doing that, we have to be in tune to the Holy Spirit to accept the word planted in you. So when we prepare in prayer, simple prayer that you can pray is, Holy Spirit, open my eyes, open my heart, open my ears to receive the word that God has for me. It's that simple. Prepare in prayer. Now, sometimes you can do that before and you can cut it off. But I would highly encourage you, maybe you do that right now. I would challenge you this week. Pray after your quiet time too. Pray in the middle of your quiet time. See what happens with the Lord. See how that opens the door for the Lord. See what the Holy Spirit can do for you to teach you what God is trying to teach each and every one of us as we pray. The second thing we're supposed to do is observe the scripture. What are we going to do when we observe the scripture? We answer the question of what's taking place in the passage. What do I see in the passage? We're going to go back to English class for a minute. We're going to get four of those five W's, but we're going to be looking at the who, the what, the when, the where. Not the band, the who, but the who, the what, the when, the where. We're going to see what's happening in Scripture. And the reason I gave you this printout is I'm going to be going fast, but you may want to do this week before you come back. You're going to work this out in your groups next week. But you can see what's happening in the Scripture when we look at this. We're going to be writing down the key words, the key people, the key topics, the key subjects that are happening. What are the commands that are in the Scripture that we are observing? Is there anything repeated in there? Is there anything that is unusual or anything that's unexpected that's in there? Is there a comparison in there? Maybe it's a comparison of the same thing. Maybe it's a comparison of something absolutely different, but we should be observing what is happening in the Scripture, and the context of the Scripture is what matters. So going quickly, but I'm saying as we observe, we're going to be looking at keywords, the key subjects that are being expressed. We're going to be looking at the commands that are there, which are usually verbs from God, right? What is he commanding us to do? Are there any warnings? Has God given us the seven woes to the Pharisees, right? Like, are there any warnings that are there? Is there anything repeated over and over again, like David in the Psalms, praise the Lord, 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 over and over again? That's there for a reason. Are there any comparisons? Is Jesus saying the kingdom of heaven is like? Is there a comparison that does that? Are there the comparisons the same or are they different? What do the comparisons look like? And then is there anything unusual or unexpected in there? And anytime you look at the kingdom of God, it's like Jesus saying the last will be first and the first will be last. There's a comparison there. That's not what's expected when it comes to the kingdom of God. So you write these things down as you're studying the scripture. But here's the beautiful thing with observation and observing. You can't really get it the first time you just read it. Sometimes you got to go over and over again on something before it clicks, right? So when you're going through the observation part of scripture and you're observing scripture, don't give up on it too quick. Sometimes you can be in one scripture and one word sticks out. Next week, we're going to actually break down scripture. We're going to walk through my life verse, which is John 15:5. I'm going to give you a little preview. I could stop with I am and just keep going to I am over and over again and be reminded of God's faithfulness. Where did he say I am? Who is he that I am? I am, I am. What does I am mean? What does Yahweh mean? Why is this important to me? And I could just fill out this graph time and time again, this filled out. I want the same for you. Because here's the cool thing. The Holy Spirit's going to give you something. He's going to give me something. And then we're going to bring it together, and it's going to be like, whoa, this is amazing. So observe what is happening when it comes there. But the most important thing that I want you to know when it comes to observation is don't be afraid to keep asking those questions of who, what, when, and where, because the Bible will not fail you in answering it. Because it matters. Just like I said, Jeremiah 29:11, we love that. We want God's prosperity. But we forget the captivity that we had to walk in sin that Jesus set us free from to walk fully and his prosperous plans for us. The third thing we do that we can get stuck on really easily is we interpret the scripture. And this is the hard part. This is what you want me to do for you. And I'm going to tell you, if you get anything from me, it ain't me. It's the Holy Spirit. I just get to be a vessel when it comes to interpreting scripture. That's why prayer is so important. And what interpretation does is it answers the question, what does it mean? Observation, we're looking at what's going on in the place of the passage. What do I see happening around me? Interpret means that we're trying to see what it means. And to look for interpretation, we look at the important key words again. We look at any commands that are there. We look at the meaning of the words that are there. Are there any phrases that are there? Any dates? Any names? Any titles? So I'm going to do that slowly because I'm talking fasty. Fasty. Is that a word? It is today. I'm going fasty. Call me Jeff Gordon, the white SS with a navigation. Anyway, sorry, it's in my head. If you know, pray for me. Interpret, what does it mean? So is there a given word that's mentioned over and over again? Like, interpret. Behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy for all man, right? Christmas, is that's a big word at the beginning. Are we looking at that? Is there a giving word? And what is the meaning of behold? Is it something that we neglect? Is it something we listen to, or is it something we don't? Are there phrases in there that matter? Are there names, titles, and dates that are important? Like when Quirinius was governor and he had the first census is when Jesus was born. People deny that, but it's, you can literally go to look when Quirinius was governor of Syria and see this is the time that Jesus was born. There was a census in all of Rome. We can see that in this moment in time. So is that important? Again, the context of the scripture with interpretation matters. When we look at interpretation, we're going to look at all the verses surrounding it multiple times. Sometimes it's not just the one verse that goes together. It's the verse before it and the verse after it. As we just said in Jeremiah 29:11, as we just started out a moment ago. Therefore means that there was something before it that you needed to understand what the therefore is there for. Maybe you can look for the implication of the word in there, from this given word and its meaning. Simply, the book of Hosea means salvation. Now, how does that play out in yours and mine? Joshua, Yoheshua, not Yeshua. Jesus is the deliverer, but Joshua is Yoheshua. God delivers. What does it matter? That means that matters the meaning of a name, and we're interpreting the scripture and what matters to each and every one of us. So to help us, we talked about it a little bit last week, and to know the Bible, this is where looking at Bible commentaries are absolutely a must. I will tell you, it's great. Go to BibleHub.com. They're absolutely free. I tend to look at Charles Spurgeon commentaries a lot. Matthew Henry's a commentary I look on there multiple times. Look at Strong's Concordance. Man, it's one of the best things to do. It'll take the Hebrew and the Greek, and it'll tell you exactly what it means. And it's free on BibleHub.com. Seriously, I know that that's a... And even in the Bible app, I think there's now some in there too for those who do it through the Bible app. I think you can look on there too. It's got concordance in there, and it's got commentaries itself. Maybe you can look at a Bible encyclopedia or dictionary. I tend to look at those. I have an old school concordance that was my dad's that I try to look at when that happens. But just... when you're looking at interpretation, I want to give you this warning. Scripture never contradicts itself. It will always agree with itself. Even if you try to twist it, because you know, let's just be really real. Who twists Scripture in the Bible in Genesis 3 to Adam and Eve? Satan. Who twists Scripture tempting Jesus? Satan. Scripture does not contradict itself. It will always, God's word will always agree with itself. So just remember that when you're going in interpretation. Side note, before we get to the last one, we as Christians, I know in this room, we want to know, so then why is it so hard for me to interpret Scripture? Because sometimes it's really hard. I just don't get it. And I'm going to give you three reasons really quick without going too crazy on here. But the first reason oftentimes that we struggle interpreting the Scripture is we didn't prepare in prayer because we're stuck in our sin. Oftentimes, we go to Scripture to justify our sinful actions instead of preparing in prayer and confessing our sins. So sometimes our sin gets in the way of our interpretation of Scripture. We want to twist it to what we want to hear, right? And what we want to do. Another thing that may stop us from understanding and interpreting or understanding Scripture as a Christian is our maturity in the faith is not there. We're still drinking spiritual milk instead of having meat. We can't get to the nitty-gritty because we're not willing to take steps of faith. So we got to get to the meat in our maturity in the faith. So it could be our sin, it could be our immaturity in the faith. And the last thing is something we've talked about every week. Sometimes in Scripture, there's something about God we just can't know this side of eternity. We won't know until we meet him face to face. And we have to accept that. Again, I used it the other week. The seven spirits with the seven eyes in Revelation, and you're just like, what? And Ezekiel, when he's describing angels with eyes on wings, and they're all like, do they blink at the same time? Are they going at different rates? Like, what's going on? That stuff is not fully going to make sense to us this side of heaven. And that's okay. That's okay. The fourth thing, and the last thing today we're going to walk through, and how to study the Bible, is we are to apply the Scripture. Apply the Scripture. Jesus's brother James again says this in the very next verse in James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Do what it says. This is the culmination of studying the Bible. Do what it says. We can have knowledge of God. The demons know who Jesus is. So we can either walk in the knowledge of God or the wisdom of God, which means we apply it to our life. So those are the four things that we can do today to study the Bible, and we're going to walk through it in our groups here in just a moment, but I want to remind us where we started, that God is faithful. God is faithful. So today, in talking about God being faithful, if we prepare in prayer as we are walking through, getting everything ready, we observe what is happening in the Scripture, we interpret what is going on, that should help us be able to apply what God is teaching us each and every week. God is faithful. 1 John 1, 9 and 10 reminds us of God's faithfulness. It says this, we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. I almost went NKJV. I'm sorry. Cleanse us from all righteousness. Purify us from all unrighteousness. But verse 10 says, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. See, God was faithful to us when we were unfaithful to him in sin. You and I, born in sin, separated from an almighty God that wants to be in right relationship with us, to be all who we were created to be. And instead of leaving us in this hopeless, helpless state, God came to us through his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to live the perfect, sinless life you and I couldn't live. Sin is anything that is against the perfect will of God. So Jesus became that perfection for us. He died the death we deserve on the cross, becoming our eternal atoning sacrifice. That means he paid the penalty of death for our sin once and for all. And he loved us enough not to stay dead. He rose again on the third day that we could have life and have it to the full. What does that mean? You and I can apply what God is teaching us now and be face to face with him now. We don't have to wait till eternity to do it. But it requires one thing on our part, faith. Faith that Jesus is who he says he is. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, the reason we do what we do each and every week is to make sure that we are encouraged and strengthened and reminded of our faith as Christians, but also others may find Jesus for the first time. Here at the Vine Church, nobody prays alone, so we're about to say a prayer. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you, it's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. So with every head bow and every eye closed, please repeat the words of this prayer of faith after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, pay the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, whether you're in the house or you're watching online, and for the first time you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. If you're in the house, you can raise your hand. If you're online, you can give us a raised hand emoji. You can reach out to us, message us on all our social platforms inside of our app, whatever that looks like. I want to tell you the reason we want to know that is this is not the finish line of the rest of your life. This is not your fire insurance to be held in your back pocket to roll out on judgment day. No, this is the starting block to the rest of your eternity. And we want to celebrate that with you because the best way to grow and know the Lord is to be connected to a local church near you. And for the rest of us, we're about to get into this moment of group time. You're going to see some movement here. You can go ahead and look up. I'm going to give us some discussion questions for our group time. If you're watching online, you can participate in those discussion questions. But what those discussion questions look like for each and every one of us is our men will get to gather together here in a moment. Our women will get to gather together here in a moment is this. How do I apply God's word daily to my life, right? How do I study God's word daily? Excuse me. And what's the hardest part of understanding and applying God's word to my life? Two questions. How do I study God's word daily? And what's the hardest part of understanding and applying God's word to my life? We hope you have a great week. We're going to be diving in. If you've got those little ledgers there with Matthew 6:33, you're going to break that down in your groups next week. But hopefully it makes sense of what we're doing here together over today and tomorrow. We're not going to attack that till we get in groups together next week and discuss that. But right now, you're going to see people moving. If you would like to join us, we would love to invite you. We've got plenty of room, plenty of food. There's even birthday cake over here for you. So if you would like to join us next week, we'd love to see your smiling face. Have a great week. And always remember, the best is still yet to come. Woo! Got down there. Woo! Went down the wrong tube there. That was really bad.